Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In a very practical vision, sealing 144,000 has illuminated the gospel facts as they have been unfolding to us in the scriptures since the beginning. In His supreme authority, our Creator and Savior, by His grace, saves full number of those we consider as being the most unworthy, and of the others that appear to us as most worthy. In this bright light, John is prepared to see the next part of this same vision as it unfolds. Verses 9 and 10. John beholds a great multitude. No man can number. Nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues stand before the throne and before the Lamb. They are in white robes with palms in their hands. They are exclaiming, Salvation to our God on His throne and to the Lamb. Glory to God! What a blissful thrill! This numberless congregation is filled with the glory and splendor of the Almighty, just as the entire universe has been forever and ever. Redeemed by grace in the Lamb, adorned in His holiness, they are filled with His glory, and they adore Him in glory. I perceive a twofold meaning in their joyful adoration. All the redeemed recognize God as the author and finisher of their salvation, Hebrews 12:2. In God's Son, the Lamb of God, the Father and the Son have the same joy and full satisfaction beholding all of His ransomed in full number, not one missing, gathered around His throne, glorified and glorifying God. The mighty source of ever-joyful blessedness is radiating with streams of endless blessings upon all beings in the entire kingdom of His Majesty. And the next event is spontaneous. It is an echo of God's own grace and eternal love, endlessly blessing their souls and continually returning to God with gratitude. Verses 11 and 12. Around the throne, the elders and the four living beings, all the angels bow down to worship God, saying, Amen. Blessings, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might unto our God forever and ever. Amen. With the first Amen, host of angels confirms the adoration of the redeemed. The second Amen confirms the sevenfold worship of the angelic and redeemed worshippers united in the everlasting elation. All true blessings come from our God to us, His children, and return to Him in our joyful worship of gratitude. God's glory fills the kingdom. It fills the redeemed souls suffering on earth. Now they are all together glorifying God. True wisdom comes from above to give us discernment to cherish God's gifts and resist deception. The entire kingdom of worshippers is united in confessing that all the real wisdom is in God, from God, and honors God. Thanksgiving is our expression of gratitude. Praising our Heavenly Father is our soul's delight. Our Lord deserves so much honor from us that He is worthy that we honor our brethren for His sake. He deserves that we honor His word in our dealings with the world around us. The more we honor our Lord in everything, the more of His kingdom we have. I feel that power and might includes His supreme authority and omnipotent ability. How many times during our journey we observed God's deliverance and wondered, why did we worry and fear since God is always near? Once united forever with the entire ransom throng and the heavenly hosts, we will see it all in clarity and worry nevermore. The might of the Almighty is manifested in His creation and in His salvation. His might is in His patience and loving kindness, in His judgment and in His corrections. His might is in Solomon's building the temple and in the poor widow's offering of 2 coins. Every atom of the universe is filled with God's might. All these divine attributes are acknowledged in the endless, delightful adoration of our Creator and Savior, and the more we ponder on these words, the more we experience life in our daily walk, the more we are filled with His kingdom, and our long journey becomes short, and our long waiting but a moment of hope. In Genesis 7, we see the great flood and destruction of the corrupted world. Human expectation of gaining a lofty name is the prelude of destruction. God's word, rejected by proud and rebellious sinners for a long time, comes to its fulfillment. Faithfulness of the few believers is greatly rewarded. God is true. Destruction by flood was a strong message of God's justice. In the chapters 8 and 9, we read about God's grace granting new beginning to Noah and his family to develop a new world. Here, in Revelation, this chapter 7, we see the proof and the everlasting testimony of God's grace accomplished, and His glory fills the universe. By removing the sixth seal, the mighty Lamb of God reveals to us the depth of peril He delivered us from and the grandeur of glory He transferred us into. The multitude of the heavenly hosts is blessed with abundance of God's character. They all partake of glory and joy in His salvation with their measureless adoration. It appears as if one of the 24 elders steps out of this splendid vision and starts talking to John. Verses 13 and 14. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? John replied, sir, thou knowest. The elder said, they came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. John must have wondered about all. Answering to John's amazement, one elder asked a question that was in John's mind. John is not an all-knowing, proud man. He is a ready learner. In the chapter 6:11, the souls of the martyrs are given white robes. Here, 144,000 sealed must have had the same robe of Christ's righteousness. There is none other, apparently. John did not see anyone of the 144,000 while their number was proclaimed. John only heard the number. After the numbering, John saw the multitude in white robes. In the chapter 14, we see 144,000 again, with more attributes and testimonies related to their number. Are all of them the same people? All of them are Christ's sufferers. This is an encouragement to all of his sufferers, still suffering today. Beholding the glorious end of our journey contributes to the victory of our journey, that our suffering be less hard to us. Washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb is a multidimensional spiritual indication. First, they receive white robes when they are delivered from death to the new life in Christ. Then, through all of their tribulation-saturated journey, they keep washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The devil would battle to make our suffering unbearable, to compel us to accept his attitude of blaming God. The greatest martyr is with us always. His Holy Spirit is bearing us in his loving care, suffering with us and instead of us. These are the marvelous testimonies of Christ's sufferers. Knowing that we are in the flesh, our Savior is constantly purifying our thinking, emotions, and affections. He removes stains of Satan's lie. Christ is the vine. We are his branches, John 15:5. Our fellowship in his Spirit includes constant feeding, cleansing, correcting, and improving. Our Father is cultivating us in faith and knowledge of him, our Savior. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul has written, "Our light affliction is a moment, but his glory is eternal." Our Lord Jesus invested into our eternal future all his suffering and death. His sacrifice is teaching us the truth. Of all he would allow us to endure, there is nothing in this life on earth, life in the flesh, that could be too great an investment toward his eternal glory he has in his Father and our Father in him. Only life in Christ is worthy of living. Only Christ's testimony is worthy to die for. In him we live forever. Verses 15 through 17. Because they are made pure white by the blood of the Lamb, they are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. And God on his throne dwells among them. They hunger no more. They thirst no more. Sun doesn't beat them nor overheat them. The Lamb is in the throne center. He feeds them and leads them unto living fountains of waters. And God wipes away all tears from their eyes. The children of our Heavenly Father in this world have their body of flesh, like the people still in sin bondage. The purpose of Christian living is not carnality, but to grow in faith and knowledge of our Lord. In following our Savior and Lord faithfully through suffering and martyrdom, we bear the testimony of having our soul adorned in the purity and holiness of our Redeemer. In our Father's house, our Lord Jesus prepared a wonderful place for his faithful disciples, John 14:2. We pray and strive to live his gospel. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, the disciples are the temple of God and the dwelling place of his Holy Spirit. Chapter 6 tells us in the verse 19 that the body of a true Christian is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In the Revelation chapter 21 verses 22 and 23, the Almighty with the Lamb is the temple and its light in the New Jerusalem. In Luke 23:46, our Redeemer marked the end of his martyrdom, commending his spirit into his Father's hands. No endless journey to the Father was necessary. The Father was right there. Following God's Son, his martyrs are right around the throne of the Almighty when our Savior's arms carry them into his glory. In the Psalm 125 verse 2, the mountains are round about Jerusalem, So our Lord is round about His people forever. In Romans 6:11, we are instructed to reckon ourselves dead, not available to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Martyrs were in the flesh among men, but they lived a new life in Christ. Their testimony is our encouragement to live a life pleasing our Heavenly Father. We must not frustrate God's grace and His blessing of growing toward the likeness of His beloved Son. With our Savior, our Master, in our heart and life, we are around His throne already as we journey. We have a foretaste of glory. We do not thirst for worldly vanity and pride. We don't hunger for sinful, abominable lusts. Our Lord is giving us opportunities to serve Him in His temple, which is our body and soul. Our God is inside of us and among us. His presence is manifested by His loving lordship. He molds us by His perfect mastership. God wipes every tear from our eyes, and we don't weep for deceitful pleasures of this world, because the flame of true and everlasting joy of salvation in Christ already glows in our souls. True church is built upon the rock, the Son of the living God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. His love and grace has fashioned the first man in the beginning. His love and grace is cultivating now His redeemed people to be His bride in glory and splendor. Our King is victorious. Our enemy is defeated. All the redeemed are saved in Christ, and only in Him is our eternal life and joy, our everlasting adoration.